And we're taking a peek now into the sordid world of casting calls. Those are the listings that actors pore through as they look for work, where your weight, the length of your legs, and your comfort standing around in underwear become the key to landing a gig. Jenny Jaffe is a writer and a comedian. She recently wrote a piece about all this on Vulture.com. Jenny, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So for those of us who've never answered a casting call, I guess that's probably most of us. Start with how it works.
So basically, you are sent casting calls a couple of ways. Some of them come through agencies, but a lot of the time they come from sort of aggregate sites like Actors Access or Backstage or Casting Frontier. There's a million of them. And a lot of the time, what's out there is a little bit jarring.
Right.
And yeah.
Right. So you've been seeing these casting calls for a while now in your career, but you say you don't go to many of them. Why is that?
You know, I just wasn't finding a ton of acting work out there for me, honestly. And, you know, that could be for any number of reasons. And maybe it's just that I'm not a very good actor. That's a fine reason, too. I take no offense to that. But I still was seeing these notices and I was seeing what I was right for based on my Actors Access criteria, based on things I was being sent. And I just started to get curious about the experiences of other people because I imagine there are a lot more roles for people like me. I'm a white cisgender woman in her 20s. I feel like there's probably a larger range of roles out there for me. So I started putting out there to other actors, like, you can be as anonymous as you want. Tell me what casting notices you've been sent lately and what they said to you, basically.
And just to clarify for people who don't know, cisgender means straight.
Cisgender means that you feel comfortable identifying with the gender you were assigned at birth.
I see. And you've been disillusioned with this whole process as well.
Yeah. And I think it's not just this particular part of the process. The casting notices are the sort of public face of whatever's going on behind closed doors. It's the part the actors see. And I think that a lot of the time they're representative of a much larger problem in our media, which is this idea of who gets to be portrayed and how they get to be portrayed.
And I want to read an example of one of these casting calls. Here's one that you had in your piece. 20s Asian female factory workers in, quote, in a stash house who will be seen weighing, cutting, and bagging drugs must be comfortable wearing solid white cotton bra and panties on camera. Another one says, prefers an actor who is not thin. It's a great role for a feminist. And some of them are a lot worse than that.
Yeah, these are really the tip of the iceberg. Many of them I found the day of writing the article, like, to prove a point. So both of those roles kind of represent different, equally terrible aspects of the industry. You see how they're looking to cast sort of anonymized Asian women in their underwear. There's no character description given. There are no names given. And that role, I don't even know if it's in the article, but is unpaid. And the other one is basically saying a feminist looks like a chubby woman. And there's nothing wrong with being a chubby woman. And there's nothing wrong with being a feminist. But there's this weird judgment that takes place there.
And do you think that a lot of actors who are, frankly, the it's a stereotype, but maybe it's true, desperate for work, we'll just kind of put up with these?
Thing is, there's not a ton you can do as an actor in the industry, and especially if you're someone where there are not a ton of roles out there looking for you. And you do what you have to do to break into the industry. And a lot of the comment section said, well, then why don't you go out and create your own work? A lot of actors do. A lot of the actors I spoke to in the article are people who are content creators, people who are making wonderful waves in the industry. But there's not a ton of money in that. And I just think that everyone along the process of creating media needs to look at their own part in it and what they're allowing to be perpetuated.
Are we painting this with a broad brush, though? Are you saying that the entire industry is like this, that all of Hollywood is like this, that if you are auditioning for a film or a TV show that is going to pay you anything, that you have to put up with this? Because that seems like a broad generalization. Is it true?
No, because not all of anything is like anything. And there are certainly examples of places out there that are doing really wonderful, great projects. There's a lot of great Hollywood projects. And increasingly, the world of Hollywood is trying to become more aware, I think, of what it's portraying.
Well, in fact, we're having a conversation in this country right now, as recently as the past few weeks, about the underrepresentation of women and minorities in film. And it's, you know, obviously not a stretch to say that if the industry doesn't match reality, there's a legitimate conversation to be had about that. But isn't this this dig at casting more about the writers and the filmmakers who are making these products than the casting agents themselves who are just trying to carry out the orders?
Well, once again, I'm not trying to place the square blame on any one person or job description's shoulders. Of course, writers and directors and creators and producers need to be looking at making work that presents a broader view of our world. The casting notices are notable because they're the part of the process that we see, as I said. Also, a lot of the times when they're looking to fill a role, that role is not specified beyond a one-word description. And this is especially true in the commercial world. You have a role and the role is teacher or chef or dad. Mm. And there is no reason I can see why you should specify anything about that person's race or weight or ethnicity or gender in a lot of cases. Mm. And like the specification there is like, I am just trying to open up an interesting conversation about why do we see things the way they are.
You have a really interesting point in your article where you ask a friend, Jonathan Braylock, who co-hosts a podcast called Black Men Can't Jump. You ask him to send along some of these notices to you, and he gave you one that said it was for a prisoner who, quote, looked like a real prisoner. And he said that the only reason I look like a real prisoner is because I'm black. Those are Jonathan's words. I want to ask you, though, if films and TV are trying to portray reality or make a comment on the way things are in the world, the fact of the matter is that much of the country's prison population is made up of black men. So I wonder sort of like where you draw the line between, you know, we're trying to depict the way things are and when it becomes racist.
Well, I think it kind of harkens back to the point that Parker Malloy made in the piece, which is that, for instance, when it comes to casting trans people, the reason that a lot of the times trans people aren't cast as trans people is because of this media idea that trans people look a certain way. For instance, they were casting a man to play a trans woman because they thought that person would look more trans. But we get our idea of what trans people look like largely from the media. So it's a sort of warped back and forth mirror where I think we end up shaping society around our expectations and we get our expectations from the media. You know, truthfully, I don't want to speak to Jonathan's feelings on it, but I had a platform from which to help him express his experience, and I was happy to help him use that.
Hmm. How would you write a casting call if you were the one doing it? Say if you were doing a film about a young woman who was dealing with a weight problem.
Well, sure thing. If you're casting a part where that person is struggling with a weight problem, you're going to want to cast a person probably who is of a bigger body type. And that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me as a casting notice. What doesn't make sense to me is casting where it's saying, you know, we want it to be a family, so it should look Caucasian. Like, there are these lines and they're blurry. And there's no one right answer. It's a conversation that has to be had, and it's been had continuously, and it's going to be had forever. So, yeah, that's I probably would say, you know, casting a woman. You know what? Maybe I wouldn't actually even specify. I'll let the people come in, and there's not one weight of woman who has a weight problem. That's the other part of that, I guess. Mm.
As you say, complicated, interesting stuff. Jenny Jaffe, her piece is The Terrible World of Casting Notices. It appeared on vulture.com. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.